Tonight is out of the book of Acts, chapter 28, verses 17 through 29, fulfilling our ministry calling. The book of Acts explains the orderly and sovereignly directed progress of the kingdom, from Jews to Gentiles and from Jerusalem to Rome. So we can learn a lot about aligning our ministry efforts with God's sovereign work from studying the book of Acts. Acts chapter 28, verses 17 to 29 records Paul's final formal effort to evangelize his Hebrew countrymen, and although the effort had mixed results, it exemplified how to fulfill our ministry calling before the Lord. So we view the passage for our insight. Acts 28, verses 17 through 29. Let me just read those verses and then we'll look at them. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem under the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you, to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, We neither received letters out of Judea concerning you, neither of the brethren that have come have shown or spoke any harm of you. But we desire to hear of you what you thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many unto him unto his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning until evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that Paul had spoken one word, Well spoke the Holy Spirit by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. Now, verse 29 does not appear in many manuscripts. It reads, And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. That's probably something that actually happened, but it's not in the best manuscripts. Well, Acts chapter 28, verses 17 to 29 is the climax of the book. It records another rejection of the gospel, this time of Jews in the capital city of the empire of Rome itself, and of Paul's taking the message to Gentiles. Nevertheless, right up to the final rejection of the gospel by his fellow countrymen, Paul gave a sterling effort, exemplifying how to fulfill our ministry calling from the Lord. A lot of times we get the calling that we have from God mixed up with the results, and we think that somehow, if we're not getting the results, that somehow we are a failure. That's not necessarily true at all. We have a calling. There are certain things that God wants us to do. But there are certain things that we have no power over. People have the decision to make on their own as to whether they're going to receive Christ as their Savior or not, or whether people are going to respond to the ministry of the Word that we have. So we can learn a lot from this, though, as to what Paul did. He did the very best that he could to reach his countrymen. 3 days after settling into his dwelling and while awaiting trial before the emperor, Paul called the chief leaders of the Hebrews in Rome to meet with him, since he was under house arrest and could not attend their synagogues. Paul wanted to prevent any derogatory report from his Jewish enemies in Jerusalem from hurting his opportunity to witness to the Hebrews in Rome. So he was faithfully doing his best to be as winsome and persuasive to his countrymen in Rome as a final effort officially to lead leaders in Israel to faith in Christ. See what he was doing? He was trying to prepare the way as best as he could to leave as positive an impression with these Jewish leaders in Rome who hadn't heard about him, hadn't heard any bad reports, so he could witness. And this is something that we as believers should always be seeking to do. We should always be seeking to be as winsome. Now, that just doesn't mean that we should compromise. We're not talking about that at all. But winsome, that is positive, affirmative, acceptable, trying to make the message that we have as receptive as we possibly can do. Well, Paul made several significant points in his presentation to these Jewish leaders in verses 17b to 20. First of all, he testified that he was innocent of the charges that his countrymen in Judea had leveled against him of damaging the Hebrew people or their customs. Then Paul added that even the Roman authorities in Judea considered him innocent. And we know from Acts 23:29, Acts 25:25, Acts 26:31 and 32, in front of Felix, Festus, Agrippa, these three kings, they all felt that Paul was innocent, that there was nothing that was worthy, certainly, of death or what the Jews wanted to do with him. So Paul threw this in there. This is the Romans felt that he was innocent. And then Paul explained that the reason he would be tried by Caesar was not due to any wrong by him, but since his countrymen in Judea had refused to deal with him justly, he had appealed to Caesar. In other words, he said, I don't have any choice. I had to do it, otherwise they would have taken my life. And then Paul added that his main point, and also a significant point by Paul, was his testimony to his Hebrew countrymen in Rome that he was not pressing charges against Israel for mistreatment for any other reason, that he only wanted to be acquitted. Now, this is an important point because he was trying to remove any concern on the part of the Hebrews in Rome that Paul might have based biased animosity against his people in Israel. And that, of course, would hurt his credibility with the Hebrews in Rome. Paul didn't have any bias against his countrymen. He loved his countrymen. He wanted them to come to Christ. And this is why he said, I'm not pressing any charges against them. I don't have any problem with them. Then Paul added that his main reason for wanting a hearing with the Hebrew leaders in Rome was to present his case to them of the hope of Israel. And to Paul, the hope of Israel meant fulfillment of the Old Testament promises to Israel. And Paul firmly believed that Jesus is the Messiah of Israel, who will return someday and establish himself as the King of Israel and the Lord of the nations. If you use the phrase, the hope of Israel, in the days of Paul, to a Jew, that meant the Messianic kingdom and the Messiah, and the coming of the Messiah. In fact, to this day, the Jews, many of the Orthodox Jews, are actually waiting for a Messiah. They're still waiting for a Messiah. They're also waiting for the Elijah the prophet to come, who's the forerunner of the Messiah. Well, the Hebrew leaders gave him an indecisive response that appears to be only partly truthful. They claimed to have received no bad report about Paul from the Hebrew leaders in Judea. They had heard only negative reports about the Christian faith that he held. So it appears that these Hebrew leaders in Rome were guarded about relating candidly to Paul out of concern over the negative reports they had received about his Christian faith. But they were certainly interested in what he had to say. So they set a date for them to come and hear his explanation of the Christian faith. They wanted to give him a full day where they would take a break from their businesses and their other walks of life and come and listen to him, because they knew he was an authority. He had been a member of the Sanhedrin, and he was a man who knew scriptures. He was highly trained. He was trained at the feet of Gamaliel. So this is the kind of man that they would want to hear. Well, when the day arrived, many more Hebrews came to Paul along with their leaders. And Paul taught from morning until evening on the kingdom of God from the Hebrew Old Testament scriptures. It says that he opened Moses and then the prophets. That's normally a catch-all for the entire whole Old Testament. Paul knew his Old Testament well at this point. This is the latter part of his ministry. He was a seasoned evangelist, and so he opened up the Word of God and gave it to these men. Well, in the end, he got the same response that he'd been getting all along. Some believed. Some did not. And with their disagreement among themselves, Paul noted that in fulfillment of Isaiah 6:9-10, Israel as a nation was hardened against the truth. He recognized at this point that, yep, Israel as a nation is not ready for the gospel. And so he did say that he was going to turn to the Gentiles and write to them. What's interesting is that the epistles of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, some of the most important epistles we have were written at this time while he was waiting trial. And it also shows, and that's the next lesson we have, that we shouldn't waste our time. Just because the Jews were not really open, wide open, didn't mean that his ministry was over. Just because he was under house arrest, his ministry wasn't over, he could write letters. So he did. And because of that, we have been enriched. Ephesians is a tremendous book, full of theology. Philippians as well. Colossians. Philemon is a landmark epistle of the Apostle Paul on handling the issue of slavery and slaves and what happens with runaway slaves in the Christian faith. So Paul wasn't wasting his time. So Paul would turn to the Gentiles and that they would hear the truth. In fact, many manuscripts don't contain verse 29, although that's possible that that happened. But we want to note, we want to be very careful to make sure that our teaching ministry is based upon what we know is God's word. And verse 29 is highly questionable because many manuscripts do not contain that verse. But the lesson is, right up to the end of trying to reach Hebrew leaders in Rome with the gospel, Paul did his best to give an edifying witness, only to see the same general rejection of Christ's gospel by Hebrews that he had faced all along. Accordingly, he once again turned to minister to the Gentiles, having fulfilled his calling to his countrymen. And in application, may we, like Paul, do our best to fulfill our ministry calling from God, regardless of the results. It's amazing how I hadn't planned on this message to come the Sunday night before we started VBS ministry, but the application is very, very important. We're going to be involved in the VBS ministry tomorrow. The teens in the evening, the children in the morning, and we're going to be presenting the gospel, that's true. We're also going to be teaching and discipling people. And there's really nothing that we can do about the decision that these children are going to make based upon what we give. All we can do is our best in presenting the truth. And that's what God wants us to do. But I want to point out how incredibly important what this is to these children and the lives of these children. It's my understanding that I think it's on Wednesday when the teaching is going to center around the fact that God made people male and female. And that's in view of what the children today in our culture are facing in the teaching. This past week, I received a call from a relative who's an adult concerning a child who has attended our Vacation Bible School a number of years ago. And that child has told this adult relative that she is non-binary. In other words, she believes in being fluid between male and female in her identification. Now, this is a child, this is a girl who had attended our Vacation Bible School. And what we're going to be giving here Wednesday is right down the alley of what these children need. This, a lot of these kids are being faced with this. This genderism, this gender ideology stuff of the world. They're facing it right now in school. They're being taught this. And we have an opportunity right now not only to minister to children who are coming from the outside, but maybe even to our own kids. The information that we're going to be sharing is very, very pertinent. Now, we can't make the decision. We can't make the decision for these children, but we are responsible before the Lord to tell them the truth. And that's what God wants us to do. So what we should do is, like the Apostle Paul, do the very best we can, be as winsome as we can. And I know I'm preaching to the choir in this because I know everybody's going to be doing this. We want to be as winsome to these children. We want to reach out to them. But nevertheless, go ahead and give them the truth. And they will be responsible before the Lord as to how they respond to it. And that's not our burden. Our burden is making sure that we are doing our part, like the Apostle Paul did his part, to do our best for the Lord. And if we do that, God will bless.